Great. Good morning. So for those who didn't get it, I've got quite a renter crowd going. You guys can come to me for numbers if you ever have to stand here. Okay. Hello, wind. Let me move us around. So this message of this morning comes from my heart. It's something, sometimes when you feel something in your heart, it's not that easy to put it into words. To the place where usually color has no notes, I have all these, my wife calls it like a little spider, like I draw little pictures to remember things. None of that worked for me to come to this message, but I got a message. So it comes from a place where I often read or I see or I meet with people who got doubt in God. They experience something, they got a bit disillusioned. They start to slowly turn their hearts, and some of them even leave. And I was in that place, and I was a bit frustrated. I was trying to find that 10-step plan. Like, what are the things I'm supposed to tell them? Hey, this is how you won't fall away. Or, dude, you're missing it. Just look at that one thing. And I was trying to find all the steps, and I just felt that I wasn't going to get the steps. The main thing is the heart of a person. So if you can put up that first verse, Mr. Invisible, that will be great. He's on his way for those of you who want to look it up in your Bibles. There we go. It's Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. There we go. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And when I thought of that verse, I just felt it so sits right with what I was feeling. Like, don't try and get the 10-step plan. Just be still before God. Know that He is God. That's the first place you need to get to know that He is God. And then the rest will follow. It says there, He will be exalted amongst the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. And that was just so liberating to me. So as Kala said, myself, my wife, and the kids just came from a great holiday. And especially when you go to a foreign country like Asia, you see lots of new things. You smell lots of amazing things. You hear new sounds. You see new culture. You really know that you're in a different country. It's completely different. I love it. I can just walk across a road and swim with turtle. It's bliss. But most of you who've been away, you also know there's a flip side of that, where things just don't make sense. And so I was trying to think of a good example, and we've experienced it a lot of times. And I think the weirdest two countries we've been to was China and India. So India is one of those, you love it or you hate it, we love it. But it's very confusing at times. So we just landed in India. We found out there, okay, we need to go to this place tomorrow. Where can we stay? And they said, just go and stay by the train station. So that should have been our first flag. This is a different country. Because usually in our country, close to a train station, maybe not your best location. Okay. So we took a very local bus. And as we got off the bus, it felt like Indiana Jones scene. There's this scary looking lady begging, one hand looks chopped off. At the same time, it's this beautiful new country, and you're just so in conflict with, where am I? What is going on? So on our way to find a hotel, walking up the steps, even on the steps, there would be people like trying to speak to you, and it's just freaky. And so finally, we got to a hotel which we wanted to stay in, and I asked the guy, so tell me, the train, is it going to leave from that station? And he would do this with his head and go, yes. And so I was like, sorry, you're confusing me. You're showing no, and you're saying yes. Is it going to leave there? And he went like, yes. So that was also confusing in this little setup. And so finally, we got on the train the next morning. I bought a coffee, and it was like 80 cents for two, so I had to buy two. I didn't have smaller change. So I wanted to hand another coffee to another lady, and she just wouldn't take anything from me. She wouldn't even speak to me. I was just like, what is going on? And what we quickly found out is, in a different country, things don't work the way you think. They don't handle things the same way. They have a completely different culture. People use different languages. And if you think that you're going to go to that country and they must do stuff the way you do it, you're not going to like it. If you think they're going to speak the way you do, you'll quickly find out in China that's not the truth. So there's a whole history to a country being the way it is. There's a whole culture going on, languages, ways people express themselves. And when you step into a new country, you must realize you are in another domain. It's their place. Ni hao. You need to adapt to that, okay? Not the sun part, but the country part. You need to adapt in order to fully understand and fully enjoy and experience this thing. And what I realized with this whole thing I was working through is that's so the same when you step into Christianity. When you step into it at first, all the smells are new. You see new things, you hear new things, you experience new things. Colors are more colorful, all that stuff people say. But then you get to the people nodding their heads weirdly and you're like, what is going on here? Or you want to do something and someone says, no, you can't do that. And you go through all these things, all these cultures, all these different experiences, and you're like, what is going on in this kingdom? Things don't make sense. And if you don't realize there's a whole history to this kingdom, the heavenly kingdom, if you don't realize there's a whole culture going on there, and you expect them to do things your way, if you expect the kingdom to work the way you feel, the way you want it, the way you want God to follow your ways, you're going to be disillusioned. You're going to start doubting. You're going to start feeling in your heart, oops, what am I going on? So what I'm trying to say is when you step into the kingdom, you need to adapt. And you need to start following in order to fully grasp it, to fully experience it. So first thing, obviously, when you get into a new country is you read up on it. And so when we step into the kingdom, we start reading the Bible. And I must be honest, the first time you go through it, maybe the first few times, maybe the first 20 years, I don't know, there are a lot of good answers to all your questions, but there are questions popping up. So I'm just going to focus on the questions, not the answers, okay? So, and I think it's designed that way so that we must wrestle with God. He's not just going to, bam, here's a five-step plan. He wants you to bring your heart and go, God, this is so confusing. So when I just think of the 10 plagues, that's weird. If I think of a guy who tried to stop the ark from falling and he dies, if I think of God asking, hey, Abraham, offer your child, or if I think of the people who actually brought their money, yes, they had lots of weird motives and stuff, they brought their money and they get killed in church. It's just weird things that happen. And then you come to your safety spot, Jesus, and you think, surely Jesus will keep it safe. But he says stuff like, if you want to be first, you must be last. Love your enemies. In order to find life, you need to lose your life. And all these things are just very demagogue. Yes, please. So we need to realize that we've stepped into a kingdom. And we can't come with our understanding, with our mindset. I think often we come and we think, God is going to fulfill my life. God will follow me in all of my days. He does that, but we need to follow him as our leader. We think that he's going to do things our way. And we quickly, if we don't realize that we can't come with that mindset, we'll feel that he's lying. Because people tell you you're going to have a fluffy life when you become a Christian. We'll think that, God, what are you doing? Like you're just leaving me in this place. And I think often we can expect God to behave the way we want him to. But I want to tell you, most of the time, this kingdom does not operate the way we think it should operate. And it also shouldn't, because else why do you want to go there, I guess. So when we as a family go to a different country, in this instance, Indo, you know that you are from South Africa. You get into a plane and you land in Indonesia. It's a different place. The same way, when we want to become part of God's kingdom, we need to realize we are from this world, this earthly kingdom. We need to get through something to get into the heavenly kingdom. And we need to adapt to that. We need to follow however that is working. And we need to change our hearts to follow the way God wants things to do. But if we think that the kingdom must adapt to us, we're going to be bewildered. And I don't want that kingdom then. I mean, if I look at this world is quite crazy, quite a bad place to be in. I don't want that kingdom to become like our kingdom. So you've heard me saying there are two different kingdoms. So I thought the same way LaSalle and I, when we were in India, to understand this lady not taking our coffee, to understand the guy doing this with his head, we had to read up. We had to Google a bit. We had to read Lonely Planet, all those things, in order to get an understanding. So I'm just going to give a brief history of these two kingdoms to try and give an understanding of what is happening here. So the first kingdom I'm talking about is the kingdom of Earth. That's where we live. We all know Earth. I mean, we feel the wind blowing on us. We can see each other amongst us. We feel the grass as we walk on it. We see the lovely clouds. At the same time, we have the same fears of someone stealing something from us. We have the same hurts when people come and do us in, or we have a love problem, or all those things. We know how it feels. And then completely different from that, there's this heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of God, where it's more crazy than India. It's more crazy than China. It's completely different. And we need to seriously ask God to renew our minds in that kingdom to understand it. So these two kingdoms are, most of the time, they're very different, but they're not always separate. So what I'm trying to say by that is, when the beginning, they were overlapping. They were like at the same place, same time. Does it make sense? Two kingdoms, same place. Currently, we mostly in a place where those two kingdoms really struggle to interact. I mean, the earthly kingdom is completely different from the heavenly kingdom. So it's so difficult for those two to come together. But one day we know God will make it completely 100% together again. And that's something to look forward to. So let's start beginning one. So in the very beginning, we read how there was this garden. And in this garden, heaven overlapped with earth. So in this garden, it was amazing. Humans walked with God. They completely followed his ways, his will. Things were great. But then humans decided, we want things for our own. We want to decide how to live life. We want to decide what is good, what is bad. And they took from a tree. And not only after that did we die, also these two kingdoms separated. But God. We see how even before that, God already made a plan to bring these two kingdoms together again one day. We see throughout human history how God will come and he will bring kingdom moments with people, where he would meet with people, where he would show there's better ways. Come on, follow me. And the two places I most often see it, one is the tabernacle, which Moses built. He would meet with God. Other one is Solomon's temple, which he built. In both of these, there were lots of images of trees and fruit and angels and stuff, and all of that would remind the person sitting there and the reader of a Garden of Eden, where everything was perfect and where they also found these things. The only problem, and it's quite a big one, is in the temple, there's a holiest of holies, and you couldn't enter into that place. Big problem, eh? You get it? There's this place you can meet with God, where heaven should meet with us, but we can't enter in. So the way God fixed this is he decided, and let me not jump there, but it's going to get there soon. But he decided you need to offer up a lamb. And as you offer a lamb, it's almost like that in that instance, that part in the kingdom of earth opens up. Who of you know sci-fi movies? Who of you like sci-fi? Okay, I'm going to try and go with that. So you know when the guys in Star Trek walks on a planet and they want to go back to the spaceship, they go, beam me up, Scotty. Get it? Okay, so this is, my wife says a definite no. She fell asleep in Star Wars. Name it, shame it. But so for me, it's like almost like this. So there's this place, the temple, you're trying to enter into the kingdom, you can't, so God has to almost create like a portal, okay? It's like this portal he creates by offering up a lamb, and whoop, now you can go into heaven or meet with God. The problem is, though, it could only happen once a year with one person, the high priest. So I don't know about you, but if I was God and I created all of you, I would like to meet with you, not once a year with one of you, okay? Enter Jesus. So we see Jesus, he walks on this earth, he's called Emmanuel, God with us. So you almost get this idea of the kingdom being in him and he's walking on this earth. And often they refer to him as the temple, or he speaks to himself as the temple to try and get their attention. So you get this idea of the kingdom walking around, him speaking about, God, let your kingdom come. And not only that, he demonstrates it by healing the sick, letting blind people see, being there for the broken, and even like forgiving sins and setting people free. And as he does it, it's like this kingdom which he has in him. He's like replicating like little glimpses, little images of that, so that we can see it can expand. But then a few nasty people grab him. They throw him in jail. They beat him. They say bad things to him. And on the cross, from this earthly kingdom, people look and they go, yeah, he's dead. They think all his plans are done with. Nothing that he planned is going to happen. But from the heavenly kingdom, God is going, yes, finally, it's happening. This is going to happen now. Because see, in this moment, he's becoming that lamb. He's becoming that portal creator, okay? So that we can enter into heaven. And from now on, it only happened that once. It was no longer every year that an animal had to be slaughtered. Only once Jesus had to be slaughtered to enter up the thing so that we can walk into the kingdom through Jesus. And as we go and we take this gospel to people all around us, the heaven replicates throughout earth. Does it make sense? Like, as we tell people this. The difficult thing, though, which I've realized is, if you can imagine those two kingdoms as two circles, as a Christian, you stand where the two circles intersect. So you still see the earthly kingdom playing around you. You still see people getting hurt. You still see people being ill. You still see people going through all these terrible things. And at the same time, we see healings, and we see people get saved, and we see people get set free. And it's a difficult thing as a Christian. I think often at that point, we can also start losing it. But what we need to remember is, it's only for now that we're in that intersection. One day it's going to be fully. One day it's going to be complete. One day God said in Revelation that earth will come down. No, not earth. Heaven will come down like the city. And once again, it gives lots of imagery of trees and rivers and fruit. And once again, that points back to the Garden of Eden, where things were perfect and where man walked with God and where he fully shone there and we could walk with him. So I gave us brief, maybe not that brief, history background to the two kingdoms. And the reason is to understand. See, we Googled, back then we couldn't Google. Back then you actually had to take a book to try and understand the culture. And the same way, we need to understand that this kingdom is completely unique. This kingdom of God is holy. It's a beautiful place. It's a place where the king is. It's a privilege for us that he actually opened up that portal for us to go in. It was costly for him. And as we realize that, we realize that he's a king. He's worthy to be followed. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to stand in awe of. And when we stand in this intersection, we just realize how much mercy he showed us not to leave us in that earthly kingdom. And how much grace he gave for us to pull us into the heavenly kingdom. And when things don't make sense, just to know that the fullness of a kingdom is still to come. So weird when you sit here and you see all the different people and what they do. Anyways, back to this. So I think the first thing to realize with this whole two kingdoms thing is if you are here and you're not in that new kingdom yet, the first thing is to get onto that plane. Like we had to get onto a plane to go to Indonesia. The same way I try to explain it with a portal. You have to get into this portal called Jesus. You have to get into this plane on your way to heaven. He made this bridge. He made this portal. He is this plane. But you won't just automatically end up in heaven one day. That's not the truth. The truth is you need to do something from your part. God already opened up this thing. You just need to jump into it fully. And for us as Christians who are already in this plane on our way, I think sometimes it's difficult because we can easily get to this place where you go, okay, but I've put up my hand. I've said, yeah, I want to be saved. But now things are a bit weird. So I want to read Matthew 5 verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And last year while I was going through, how do I help these people? I came to this place where I realized that must always be our starting block. This verse must, for every Christian, this must be our starting block. Poor in spirit. So in the mornings when you wake up, when you're confused, you don't know where you are, the same way you'll go Google, take me home, that same way, go to that starting block again. Become poor in spirit. One guy explained it. He said you can almost say, instead of poor, humble, for our explanation now, so you can almost go, be humble in spirit. Just realize you don't have it. You have sin. You can't do this thing. You can't enter into that kingdom. And if we don't come to that place, I think because we've put up our hand 20 years ago, we think, I've got it made. And we start growing call to God. We start building things between us and God. And slowly our hearts start turning away. And we might not backslide, we might not sin, we might not leave church even, but in our hearts we've become cold, and Jesus said he will spit us out. So how many of you just love getting a love letter? Yeah, anybody? Great. So maybe nowadays it's more like a love WhatsApp or like a love email, but what I love to do when I get a love letter from my lovely wife is to just jump to some random paragraph and then look at some fluffy words I like and like color them in and highlight them and just go, yeah, this is it. And then I make up a lot of decisions about her, about me, about our relationship, and I start basing our whole relationship on those few words that made me feel fluffy. I don't need the rest of this letter. And then I just start following what I really believe this love life is about, and I even tell others about how this is working. How many of you know that's just garbage, eh? That doesn't make sense. But at the same time, that's what we do. In God's kingdom, when we get confused, we go, okay, Google, tell me, why does bad things happen to good people? And then we take that, well, Google actually started here. So it works. Okay, I won't do that again. So we do that, and then we'll just grab a few random verses. We start highlighting them. We color them in. We paste them up. And we start deciding, that is who God is. This is who I am. This is my relationship with God. And you start telling Eva, say, this is how we should do it. But that's just crazy. Because if you think God was trying to talk to different people for many, many, many years, throughout history, different cultures, we need to try and understand what he was trying to say. We mustn't just do it for ourselves. And yes, he is trying to connect with us. Yes, he is always, I mean, the word is alive and active. It will speak to you. But you must understand that there was different reasons God wrote to different people, and he had an aim with everything. And it's almost like if I was to start telling LaSalle stuff like, your neck is like the mountains of Lebanon, she gets grossed out, right? But if she knew I was actually trying to be poetic, she'll still think it's cheesy, but she'll get it a little bit more. And I think often God is trying to do stuff, and we're going, ugh, But we need to see it what it's for. What is he trying to tell us? So many families have issues. Yes. And I think I don't understand. I've got a lovely family, if they ever listen to this. But as I spend more time with LaSalle's family, I realized that our family is weird. We keep secrets. We are so good at keeping secrets, to the point that I was into my 20s already before I knew I had another cousin. That's weird. And I think for those 20 years, just imagine the hard things people had to work through. Like people had to, relationship issues, heart issues, problems with each other. And what I'm trying to say is don't in this kingdom wait 20 years when you have an issue with someone or issue with God and his word. Your heart is going to go, haha, okay? And you're going to start turning away. Deal with it. Deal with that person. Take your heart, humble it, starting block, humble before God, but wrestle with God. Figure this thing out. God says in the Bible, come and let us reason together, okay? He doesn't want you to keep quiet for 20 years and get all weird. Reason with him, wrestle, like Carla said last week. Often what we also do as Christians is we read a verse and we grab it and we're like, yeah, I'm going to build my whole life on this one verse. I can do all things. I believe I can fly. Okay, so but we grab this verse and they think, I'm now going to build my life on this verse. But I was privileged to actually go to one of Mike Davies' teachings on biblical theology. It sounds like you want to fall asleep. It was not like that. So he said some very important things. He said, obviously, at first, the foundation is always Christ. Then as you find pieces of truth of theology, you start building this wall, but the bricks must always fit into one another. So if you've already found a truth, you know it's a truth, you put it into this wall. If you get another brick, if it doesn't fit in there, surely it's not supposed to go in there because you made sure of a previous brick. Okay, we've got engineers. Yes, you guys are clever. Okay, so if you find this verse or this truth or this new revelation, and you come to your wall and it doesn't quite fit, don't kick over your wall. It just doesn't make sense. So maybe this new piece of verse or information you found is not supposed to go in there. Or maybe it's not supposed to go in now. Or maybe you're just supposed to take it to someone who's more mature, discuss it with them, wrestle it through, come to something. But often what we do is we want to shout where God is whispering. And we want to whisper where God is shouting. And it's not how it works. The same thing is often in the Bible, God will just describe things that happened. And then we decide, hey, he's prescribing for us to do that. But that's not the case. He's just saying what happened. So two quick other stories. So a very close friend of mine started liking this girl. Okay, I think all of you know already where different stories can go. Most of the time disastrous, but so he really liked this girl. He started to go to church with her. He got very involved in church life. I actually also got baptized in that church. So, and as he got more and more involved, people would get prophetic words to him. One of his words, or I think they had a few, was that the two of them would get married. What was not good was that her dad was the pastor. What was also not good is that my friend started having plans to get engaged. And the worst thing was she broke the whole relationship up with an SMS. That's quite freaky, eh? So it's not like a voice note where you can hear the, oh, I'm so sorry. It's not like a WhatsApp where you can type for pages and pages. SMSs were like 250 characters, okay? So it's not a lot to say there. So just how many of you know you can really wobble in God then? You can really start doubting prophetic. You can really start doubting all these things. When I just became a Christian, as I think you might know by now, I really like sci-fi. And so for me, I thought the best way to get into sci-fi in the Christian kingdom is the end times. So you really start reading up on these end times. You really start taking verses and you make up your own idea and you start really investing into your interpretation. And both this, making up your interpretation of biblical prophecy, and getting a prophetic word, if you hold on to those two too much, if you hold on it more than onto God, if life is going to start shaking and you start turning away from God, I can tell you now, you were holding on to that prophetic word more, and you were holding on to your interpretation more. So in short, keep a soft heart. Always come back to that starting point where you know this is, I must be poor in spirit, because then I will inherit the kingdom of God. Know that there is a kingdom, and know that there is a king, and you are not that king. So in closing off, I just want to read Matthew 6, verse 9 to 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just love it. I just love at heart that attitude of Jesus, the one we follow, him trying to point to the Father, him trying to point to the Father heart, him trying to point to, we want this kingdom. And when we just take it up, it's just all about him wanting the kingdom to come, God's will to be done, to realize that it's hallowed, it's holy, it's set apart, it is unique. If things freak you out in this kingdom, it's completely normal. It is fine because it is different. And that it's not so different that you can't relate. The ruler in that kingdom, the king, is a father, and he wants a relationship with us. And I know in the earthly kingdom, often it's difficult because fathers mess up. I sometimes have to tell my kids, sorry, I did wrong. Our Heavenly Father is so unique, he never messes up. And for me, how that whole thing starts is beautiful. It's not, here's a 20-step plan to speak to God. It's not, use these words. It's not the what you should do. It's how. If you see that word, this is then how. So it points to heart. How you should do it. And for me, it goes back to this whole discussion I was having in my head for last year, is how do I help these people? It's not the what, it's not the steps, it's the how, to keep your heart soft, to stand in awe of God. And in that place, when you wrestle with him, he will bring you peace. So if a worship team can come out, that will be great. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to make opportunity for two groups of people, which we can pray for, yeah. So maybe let's all stand up. I think this heat is getting to you, all my historical thing of the kingdoms. So I'm going to speak to two groups. The first group is for those who are not yet on that plane, who have not yet jumped into this portal. And the second group would be those who have started to doubt, those who have turned their hearts, those who have started to maybe walk away. So for the first group, maybe let's all close our eyes. And then if the leaders, just comm leaders, other leaders, if you can just look if anyone responds and go and pray with them. Maybe you haven't realized that we are on this earthly kingdom and that this earthly kingdom is going to sink. It's going to go down. It's going to burn up. God says it is going to end really bad. And in order for you to not be part of us becoming really bad, you need to step over into the heavenly kingdom. And the only way to do that is through Jesus. He's the one who made the way. He's the one who paid the price. He's the one who actually enabled you to go to heaven. So if you are here today and you've never done that step, if you've never walked into the kingdom, if you've never gone, wow, Jesus paid the price for me, I want to walk into this new kingdom, will you raise up your hand so that someone can just come and pray with you? Awesome. We see your hand there. Are there anyone else? if a leader can just go and pray with him and maybe grab a number and catch up with a guy. This is such a beautiful moment for someone to come to know God for the first time. Maybe you're still here, your heart might be beating quickly in your chest. I remember I was 21 and I almost died from drugs. You never know. You never know when this thing happens. So I really want to encourage you, if you've never come to that place, today is your day. If you can put up your hand, we would love to pray with you. Then for the second group of people, maybe you've been disillusioned with this whole God thing. Maybe you've been disillusioned with God and the kingdom, and it's not just a fluffy life for you. It's not the way you thought it should be. But today I want to say it's okay to struggle. It's okay to feel the way you feel. It's okay to be in that place. But just come back to the starting block. Just be poor of spirit once again. Just soften your heart again. Just turn your heart back to God. If that is you, you've known the drill, you've been in the kingdom, you can either come forward or just put your hand up and those around you can just pray with you. Are there any like that? I'm sure in the church was big. Yes, great stuff. Can someone just go around them and just pray with them and just help them? Okay, awesome. So I really want to encourage you. I'm sure there's more people. I know it for a fact. So if you too scared to do it now, or you think your Christian buddy is going to think you're a freak, it's not about them, it's about the King. So if you want to now come forward, or if you want to speak to me and Kala, just make business with God. Let's just really, I mean, that's an eternal thing. It's way more important than how your friend feels about you or about you being too scared. So as we go into the next song now, I just want you to really focus on God. Just humble your heart and stand in awe of him.